First of all, I'm honored again to be asked by our pastor to share what God has laid on my heart for the new year. And so, happy new year again to all. The season of Advent has been a journey of reflection, focused primarily on two books written by the gospel writers Matthew and Luke. What a time it was. We read and experienced the Christmas story all over again, and in many ways, including here in the biblical accounts given in these two gospels, or the setting up and taking down of the Christmas tree by a few special helpers, not elves. As you can see, we don't have that beautiful tree here today, and we're thankful. How about the many fantastic lighting arrangements that we saw in some neighborhoods around here? Or the giving and receiving of cards and gifts, the singing of old and new carols, and having communion at our Christmas Eve service, or even through having a delicious dinner on Christmas Day here at the church with new friends. They all had one goal in mind, and that was to glorify God with thanksgiving for the precious gift of His one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My topic for today is starting the new year on the right footing. Starting the new year on the right footing. The text that I chose continues the message of reflection as we consider the impact of two very special characters or individuals by the names of Simeon and Anna. Hear these words from the text. Luke chapter 2, 22 through 40 in the NIV. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Then, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Father God, I come before you once again, that you may speak through me, Lord, the words from your own heart. And Father, give us receptive hearing, Lord, and hearts that will carry out what you command of us today. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Simeon, whose name means God's hears, God hears. What do we know about him from the reading? We're not told how old he was, nor his vocation. But most scholars believe that he was a devout Jew who blessed baby Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem. That was a fact. We're told that he was righteous and devout. Very similar to what we are told of people like Job in Job 1:1, blameless and upright, or in the Old Testament, or many of the prophets. This tells us, though, that his heart's desire was to serve God faithfully by doing the right things at all times, regardless of the circumstances. He was devout or totally committed to his faith in God. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is the coming of the long-awaited Messiah, promised by God through his prophets for centuries. For example, in Isaiah 9:6, we remember the prophecies that the promised God of all comfort, wonderful counselor he would be, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And Simeon would say, he is here. Listen again to the words of verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. This promise to him was about to be fulfilled before his very eyes. The many years of waiting for the Messiah to come were about to change. This was the event that he was waiting to see and not dying to see, as we would say today. Verse 27 says that he was moved by the Spirit, and he went into the temple courts where he met the parents and baby Jesus. Can you imagine what was going on or going through his mind at that time? Simeon took the baby in his arms and he praised God, saying the words we heard early in verses 29 through 32. We see the parents' response in verse 33, that they marveled at what was said about their baby Jesus. Verse 34, we also see the prophecy given to Mary concerning the future ministry of Jesus and its impact on both Jews and Gentiles. That's us, the whole world. We also see in the prophecy that was given to Mary, it was given to her personally when Simeon told her that years later her son would be beaten, flogged, spat upon, and crucified. It would grip Mary's heart, and we know that this happened at the foot of the cross years later. What I love about the Christmas story is that God always had everyone in mind, not just the select few, to Jews and Gentiles. He came into this world, the Lord Jesus, Messiah, to save everyone who would believe on him. The other important character in the story is Anna, whose name, by the way, means favor, God's favor. We're told in verse 36 that she was a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher, and that she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. observe some important notes about her role in the story of Advent, as given in verses 37 and 38. It says she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. We see here the example of how a godly woman in her old age was still making an impact for the kingdom of God. This is a reminder for us today that regardless of our age or our circumstances, we can still serve God in ways that make a huge difference for eternity. In our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, our schools, in our communities, and everywhere. How, you may ask? We learn from Anna that she loved being at God's house so much that she never left the temple. She worshiped God day and night through her fasting and prayer. Temple life back then compared to church life today may not be completely the same, but don't miss the fact that temple life was very important to her, and she saw the value of doing her part to serve God in worship by her fasting and her praying. Praying and fasting are still very important areas in the life of every believer and in the life of the church. Let us remember that. Therefore, I'm so thankful again for the prayer warriors we have here at Three Point Bible Church. And we know that we desire to see more people join in and participate in this very important ministry of the church. We're always looking for people to join in prayer, so don't hesitate to call the office and talk to Carol or any of the pastors. We would love to hear from you. Also, don't miss another important lesson that Anna is teaching us today. Verse 38 tells us the ministry of showing gratitude to God and her love for evangelism, or telling everyone the good news of salvation found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we face the new year 2022, what are some lessons that we can learn from the Advent story as given to us today in the lives of Simeon, Anna, Joseph, and Mary? Here are two big ones that I can think of. The first is, God is gracious and sovereign in all his ways and can be trusted. Let me repeat that. God is gracious and sovereign in all his ways and can be trusted. Look at the timing of these events in the lives of Joseph and Mary, for example, and of Simeon and Anna, and so many others in the Christmas story, the shepherds, the wise men, you name it. These were times of great turmoil, stress, and uncertainty. Does it sound familiar with the times we're in? And yet, we see God intervening in human history at the right time to show his great love for us. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. For Mary and Joseph, God sent the angel Gabriel to them separately, and he gave them the opportunity to know that what was about to take place was God's plan, and that nothing was impossible for God. They had a choice, and thankfully they both made the right decision. Because of the Christmas story, we can have greater confidence in the sovereignty of God, and his great love, and his mercy, and his care for us. The meaning of John 3, 16 and 17 becomes clearer when we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Let us praise him continually for this great gospel news. Messiah has come, and his name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. There are always consequences and benefits to our decisions. So let me encourage anyone who is still waiting to make a decision for Christ to do so quickly. Today is the day of salvation. That's the best way to start the year right. Remember that all his promises are yes and amen, as we love to sing here at this church. There are many prophecies concerning Jesus which have been fulfilled, and some that are yet to be fulfilled. It is possible that with the many signs given by Jesus in Matthew 24, for example, and other scriptures, that we are to pay close attention to the Word of God, that we may be the generation that sees him at his second coming in our lifetime. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Let us pay close attention to the Word of God and wait patiently on him. Nevertheless, we can be confident that all of God's promises and his prophecies given in his Word will be accomplished in his time, not ours. That's the first observation. The other great picture that I see in the story of Christmas, is this. Great peace comes to those who submit their lives to the living God. Let me repeat that. Great peace comes to those who submit their lives to the living God. Hear the words of James 1, 7 through 10. "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Let us keep in step with the work of the Holy Spirit as we surrender our lives in his care during this new year. He promises peace to all who put their trust in him. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Praise God. We saw these attributes displayed early in the lives and testimonies of Joseph and Mary when God intervened miraculously at some of the most difficult times in their lives. God sent the angel Gabriel to speak to them personally concerning the good news that the baby that Mary was carrying was the promised Messiah. Mary's response to Gabriel was seen in Luke 1, verse 38, when we read, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. She submitted wholeheartedly to the will of God. Likewise, Joseph's response was seen in Matthew 1, 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Once again, He too, Joseph, submitted completely to the will of God as made evident by his obedience. As we also saw in the examples of Simeon and Anna, they too learned the great truth that God's peace is with those who submit or surrender their lives totally to the will of God. They believed God and trusted in his promises. We too are also called to do the same. How do we do that, you may ask? We do so by carrying out the mission statement of Three Point Bible Church and doing it faithfully this new year by renewing our commitment to, number one, love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Two, love others as we love ourselves. And three, make disciples by leading others to Christ and helping them to grow in their newfound faith here at this local church. Paul, our beloved pastor and brother, made the comment last Sunday that 2022 was going to be the year of no excuses. No excuses when it comes to serving God here at this local church. I'm in total agreement with him on that. Have you accepted the challenge? This year, we can grow in all three areas of our commitment to God and this local body by the following examples. For example, reading, hearing, studying the Word of God more faithfully this year. We've all been challenged by our pastors, Pastor Sandra especially, to join in getting the app Bible in 1 Year. We can do it on our phones, our iPads, PCs, smart devices, whatever you got. And don't worry, today is day 2, so it's not too late to sign up and to do it. The important thing is you get started. Get started. The Word of God is so important to us. We can also follow Anna's example in prayer and fasting. Let's get involved. Make this a year of greater prayer and fasting in our lives. Men, you can get involved in the restart of the men's group. We started in December, and we meet again on the 15th at 8 o'clock right here. Breakfast, fellowship, and encouraging one another. Let's get involved. Another example is to find a good Bible Christian radio station that offers excellent Bible teaching, programs for all ages, and good music that exalts the name of Jesus Christ and edifies the listeners and the local churches. There are stations you can find. Look for them. Here's a new one that I also recommend highly. There's a powerful video tool series called The Chosen. Have you heard of it? Or anybody seen it yet? Get it. Get it. For us, the trip we made to Israel a couple years ago turned our worlds inside out and presented the Bible in real colors. This video series called The Chosen had a similar effect. And I encourage you to watch it because it is a series where it's committed. People are given the chance to explain their perspective in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. You get a chance to hear from the people who were very important in the stories that we read in the Gospels about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I highly recommend it for us, for all of us. And so another way is to commit to loving people more than ever before, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only cure to the sin problem. Yes, even this COVID pandemic that we're still fighting, let us not forget that the problem of sin is the greatest problem we face. as individuals, as nations. And only Jesus Christ can give us the vaccine as given to us in the Word of God. We believe that, but we cannot keep it to ourselves. I consider one of the worst crimes to have the cure and not give it away. Let us tell the Word of God, share the Word of God. And in fact, keep in mind this very powerful verse in 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Finally, let's commit to participate and support the mission more actively this year, given to us by Jesus in Matthew 28:19-20, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And hear the promise, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let us pray. Father God, we come again this morning to say we thank you, God. We praise you, Father God, for who you are, the God of Christmas, the God of all creation, the God who gave us your word, who gave us your spirit, who gave us Jesus, your Son, in the form of a baby. And Father, we thank you for all the characters with whom you've identified to us, Lord, in the Christmas story. We thank you, God, for this church, Lord, for our pastors, our leaders, for all those who have faithfully been serving you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for this brand new year. God, we are confident because of your sovereign will, God. You've revealed these things to us, Lord. You've given us your word. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us the church, Lord, to make a difference, Lord, in this world. And so, Father God, help us to be like John the Baptist, O God, that we may decrease so that you may increase in all that we do. We love you, we praise you, and ask these things in the mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.